Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to be with you this morning. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word of Those Live Ministries, preaching the word, trying to reach souls for Jesus Christ. And if that's you this morning, then that's who I'm trying to reach. I always tell people that if they've got a pulse, that's who we're trying to reach. And we want you to know the word of God. We want you to understand that he has a message of freedom and life that he wants you to have. And if you'll accept Jesus Christ, you can have that. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize that, and I will continue to emphasize that as long as I live. And I had a teacher one time. He said, if you get called on to preach, if you can't preach on anything, you preach on Jesus. And all this other stuff will fall into place. These good sermons that build us up and make us feel good. But Jesus Christ. This morning I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 7. And I hope if you don't read with me right now, maybe you can't, maybe you're driving, whatever it is, that you will get your Bible down later on and read this and read and continue to read it. I'm going to start in verse 24. And then I'm going to explain why that he is speaking this way. Jesus spoke in parables. Now, parables are a story that he tells that we can relate to. And we still do that today. We have analogies. We have poems, things that don't particularly say exactly what we're saying, but they get the message across so that we understand. Maybe it's a story that emphasizes something we're saying. I do that sometimes. I'll be making a point, maybe with my kids, maybe with my friends, and then I'll say, it's like this, you know, and I'll relate a story that happened to me or happened to someone I know that brings the point home. And that's what Jesus is doing with these parables. It's a word. Parabola in Espanol, Spanish, is word. And that's what he's doing. He's given a word that allows people to have the message sink in, that it means something to them. It's like, yeah. And we do that. If we've got something to relate it to, we'll retain it a little bit better. So here's what he says. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Okay, I'm going to stop a little bit and begin with this. And first of all, we've got to understand and realize why he's given this parable. What came before this that caused him to tell this parable to cement this in their minds? Well, what it was, he was telling them that there were going to be few they were going to find it. And he said, not everyone is going to find this message. Not everyone is going to find me. Not everyone is going to find Christ, is what he's saying. Not everyone is going to accept the free gift of salvation. Some people are going to reject it. And he even went further to say that some of the people that say that they have that free gift really didn't get it. They didn't accept the free gift. They just acted like it. They acted like they were part of the group. They acted like that they had salvation. They acted like they were great servants for Christ. And in fact, they even said, didn't we do these things in your name? And talking, that's what he's saying. In the end times, in the judgment, these people are going to be talking to Jesus. And when he's judging them, there's going to be two different judgments. There's going to be the great white throne, and that's for the lost. There's going to be judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat. That's for the saved, the ones that are going to be judged for what they've done in their bodies, both good and bad. Let me tell you something right now. If you are a child of God, you're still going to be in the judgment. You're going to be judged for what you've done in your body. And let me put this plain as I can be. I've seen some people that claim to be Christians. They got a lot to be judged about. I mean, we all do, but they're not even trying. They're mean, nasty, horrible people, and they're in the church every Sunday. And they're mean, nasty to the people of the church. They're mean, nasty to the people outside the church. They're awful, they're gossips, they're horrible people. Are you listening to me this morning? And Jesus is talking about these people. And they're going to say, didn't we do all this in your name? And then he's going to say something so profound to them that it just eats at me all the time. This is a horror story in the Bible. It's one of those things that just gets me and it gets me and it gets me, and I keep telling people about it and I keep warning people about it and I keep seeing people that don't heed it. And it's depressing to me sometimes. Because he said something to them. He said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Never, never, never. That word right there, resounding, echoes in my mind. I never knew you. And depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, everything they'd ever done in the name of Jesus. He didn't say, no, you didn't do those things. And that's not my message today. I'm just walking into it. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. He didn't say, you didn't do those things. He didn't say, you're liars. He said, I never knew you. And that's a scary part of the Bible. But which leads into his parable here. So knowing that, what does this parable mean to us? He says, therefore. So he's talking about what he had just talked about, what he had just said to them. What he'd just said to them was not a parable. It was a truth of what was going to happen. He was warning them. He was telling them, don't be these people. Don't be these people that are going to stand before me and say, didn't we do this thing? Because they know that they're under judgment. They know they're going to hell. They know that they're not going to heaven now. And they're distraught and they're thinking, didn't we do this thing? And they're saying, Jesus, didn't we do this? But see, they're doing, didn't do it. Now, James tells us to not be hearers only of the word, but be doers. That's not the point. We are to do after we get the free gift, after we've accepted, after we've turned our life over to Jesus, after we've made him Lord of our life. That's what it means to get saved. It means to say, Jesus, you are God, and I'm giving it all to you. Not part of my life, not the section that I don't use, not that little sliver that I've got left of my pie of my life after I've cut it all up. I'm giving you the whole pie, Jesus. I'm giving it to you, and I'm allowing you to cut it up. I'm allowing you to use it. I'm allowing you to tell me what to do. I'm yours. And then we go about doing things. All for his glory. So it's not iniquity, it's not sin, but it's the right thing because he is the right thing. So he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What sayings? The ones he just said. The ones he had just talked to them about. He told them, beware of false prophets within the community of believers. Those that would come in and say that. And then he talks about them again and says, these guys are going to do these things. And they think they're right. So he said, whoever hears my sayings, whoever hears what I just said and doeth or does them, I will liken him unto a man who built his house upon the rock. Who is the rock? Who is the rock? 1 Corinthians 10:4, Jesus Christ is that rock. That's the rock he's talking about. Who are you building your life on this morning? Who have you built your life on this morning? If it's anything other than Jesus, I want to ask you a question. How's that going for you? Probably not very good. And maybe you think it's going pretty good, but then when you hit the pitfalls, you hit the potholes, you don't have anything. Folks, it's difficult in life. I understand that. I go through life as my self, and I understand that. My family, we do that thing. Just because I'm a minister doesn't mean that I get out of that. In fact, I get some things that you wouldn't get. Coming my way and right in my way. And then you got to decide, who's my house built upon? Who's your life built upon? That's what he's talking. Your house is your life. That's what he's talking here. He said, whoever hears these things and does them, he's built his life, his house, upon a rock. He's built it on Jesus Christ. That's what you got to do this morning. You have to build your life on Jesus Christ. We have songs like that. I remember the songs, you know, when I was a kid, you know, and as the rains came down and the floods came up, and we were talking about this, and everybody just said, oh, that's a cute little kid song, but it's truth. It's about scripture. It's about what Jesus said. Look, folks, this is not what I'm saying. This is what Jesus Christ said when he was here. These are his words that were recorded. People listen to this. People were listening to him and going, oh. Oh, so this morning, I hope that you hear the word of God. I hope that you hear these scriptures and you go, oh, that's what I need to do. And I'm going to do it. He said, if you hear them and you do them, you've built your house upon a rock. I want you to understand something here and see this, that storms came to both of them. Storms came to the one that was built upon a rock. Storms came to the one that was built upon the sand. Storms in our lives will come. They're there. If you haven't got to them, they're coming. That's just a fact of life. They're all around you. We live in a world full of people, and sometimes they will bring the storm to you. Sometimes the storm is just there. Sometimes we create the storm ourselves. Sometimes we're just a bystander, just watching it. Maybe it's not even our storm. Maybe it's a storm of a loved one, a child, a friend, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, whoever it is. And because of that, we're involved too. And maybe we got a message for them. Maybe they see something in our lives. This guy's house was built upon the rock. He said the rain descended. Those rains came down. And he said the winds blew. It wasn't just a gentle rain. Man, it was a storm. It was coming hard. The winds were blowing. The rain was coming down. The ground was softening. We see this a lot of times. Trees fall. The rains come down and those winds blow and we see a tree that's old. It's uprooted. You think, man, that was strong. It's been there for years and years, and yet it got toppled. You see, that's what happens to us sometimes. But the way the rain blew and the winds blew, and it said, and it beat upon the house. But it fell not. It stood. Was it battered? Well, sure it was. Maybe lost a few shingles. Maybe lost a piece of metal. Maybe piece of siding or something, you know, it took its toll. It had some wear on it. It had some things that needed to be repaired, but it stood. You see, our life can get battered and we may lose a few pieces and there may be some damage there, but Jesus Christ can repair those. We can take it to Him and He can repair those things or damages, but we're standing. You know, when it talks about the armor of God, it talks about all the armor. It goes through it, and it says that you need to wear this, not so that you can go into battle and be a hero, but so that you can stand. Stand. See, that's what this house did. It stood. It stood there, and people are going to be looking at you as a child of God, and they're going to go, how did they stand through all that? Wasn't on my own. It was Jesus Christ in my life. There's your witness right there. There's just something you can tell and say, it wasn't me. It was Jesus. Man, if it hadn't been for Him, I would have caved. I would have fallen. I would have just on my face. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. But through Him, I stood. You see, there's our story right there. Hey, if you want to stand, I can tell you how. First of all, you've got to accept Him. So that's a great tool, and we need to use that. Then we get this other guy, verse 26, and he said, and. Now this is unusual because usually it'll say, but, and we'll get to the other side, but it just says, and. In other words, these two houses existed simultaneous. They were going through the same storm. It wasn't separate storms. It was the same storm. He said, and the ones that hear my words, they've heard the truth. They've been preached to. They've even sat in church. They might have sat on the back pew, but they heard the truth of God. They heard the word of God being preached. They've been told before, and yet they decided they didn't need that. They were going to go on their own. Again, remember who he was talking about just before this. He was talking about the ones that said, we did all these things, Jesus. We were there. We were in the pew every Sunday, every Wednesday night. We contributed. We gave to mission trips. We gave to people going to church camp. We did all these things, Jesus. That's who he's talking to right here. The people that did it on their own, yet said they were doing it for Jesus. He said, those people, they heard the word and they didn't do it. They didn't give their heart to Jesus. He's not talking about their works. He's not talking about their good deeds. He's talking about their heart, their life, their house. That's what he's talking about. He didn't give their house to Jesus Christ. See, he's got that free gift, but you have to accept it. And so he said, those that didn't do it, didn't build their house on the rock. They built it on sand. I grew up in farming country. Down there we got gumbo clay, and some of y'all go, I know what you're talking about. I've heard it before. My granddad had a farm. It was a rice farm, and up until 1975, it was allotted, and then after that, they let anybody grow rice that wanted to. But Papaw's ground was on gumbo clay. Now, gumbo clay is slick and malleable when it's wet, and when it dries up, it is hard as a rock. We used to have dirt clod fights with it, and every one of us would come back with a bloody spot on our heads because somebody nailed it. You pull a levee with that, and once it dries, you can fill it up, and it won't go through it unless something comes and tears it out. So when all these guys started growing rice, they went down near a creek, and they pulled up levees on that sandy ground, and they pulled up easy, and they were the prettiest levees you've ever seen in that field. And me and my granddad drove by, and he said, son, he said, you see those levees out there? And I said, yeah. He said, they won't hold water. They're not going to stand up. And sure enough, they got them flooded, and we had a big rain, and they couldn't open the spillways fast enough, and it took every levee out and took them to the bottom of the hill. Back then, we didn't have precision level because they were sand. It just washed them away. But our levees of gumbo clay, they stood. See, they were built on something solid. That's what Jesus is talking about. Build your life on something solid, not sand. These people built their life on sand, shifting. We call it shifting sand because it's not going to stay there. And he said, so the rain descended and the floods came and the winds came. Same rain, same wind is what this other guy was receiving. This other house was getting battered. Well, this house got battered too. It came against it. It blew, and it said it beat upon the house. Same thing as the other person. Same thing as that other house. Their life was being beat upon. Life came upon them. It came down hard. It came down rough. It was beaten against them. Folks, I know that as you're listening to me right now, you're going, I know what you're talking about. You're either in a storm, you're going into one, or you're coming out of a storm, and that's all there is to it. That's a fact of life. Your storm may be a drug. It may be some sort of addiction. It may be a financial woe. It may be just a life thing that maybe your marriage is tough. Maybe there's something with your kids. Maybe there's something in your job. But that storm is real and it's beating on you. And if you built your life on anything other than Jesus Christ, it's built on sand. And it said the rains came down, the winds blew, and it said it beat upon the house. I love that word. It doesn't say it just kind of pushed on it. It beat it, battered it, and it fell. And it said, and great was the fall of it. Wasn't just minor. Man, it went splat. In that children's song, they clapped their hands and the house went splat. We need to remember that song. We need to think about that song because that's what Jesus is talking about. What is your life built upon? Is it built upon the sand? Are you going to stand before Jesus? And I don't care if you've been a member of a church for years and your life is still built upon sand because you've never given your heart, yourself to Jesus Christ. Salvation is a personal experience. It's not a church experience. It's not something that you just get. It's not something that you have because you've got your name on a roll book. And I'm part of Baptist churches, and that's our one of our downfalls is we've got a roll book. I understand why we've got it. And some people are going to go, we've got to have it. You got to have order. You know, I understand what you're saying, but I'm telling you, it's a downfall because people get their name on that roll book and they have some sort of false security of thinking, well, I've got a home in heaven because my name is on the roll book. The only roll book that counts is Jesus Christ's book of life. And if your name's not written down in his book, you can have your name on every church roll in the United States and the world, and it doesn't mean a thing. Being part of a denomination will not get you into heaven. And I mean any denomination. I'm not preaching any denomination. I'm preaching Jesus Christ. I want to see you get saved. I want your house, your life to be built upon Jesus Christ. Then you find a Bible-believing church and you get in there and worship. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it's getting tougher and tougher to find a good Bible-believing church because we got too many pastors out there that are so scared of losing their job, they won't preach the word anymore. They kowtow to people. They kowtow to Miss Sauer over there and Brother Sauer and Deacon Sauer and everybody else that comes and tells them, hey, you got to calm it down. You want to keep your job, then you better calm it down. I know a bunch of them. I know a lot of preachers like that. So it's going to be tough. But they're still there. The enemy tells us they're not. The enemy tells us they're all like that. Don't even bother. Enemy tells us, that's not even true. Don't you see those people in that church? They don't live up to that. Look over there. Look over there. Don't you see them? Folks are there. But it's your choice about what you have as a foundation of your life. He said, and great was the fall thereof. Everybody saw it. There's your person that's sitting in the church house that when a little storm came along, they went kerplat. And everybody saw it. Why was it great? Because they told everyone that they had Jesus. And the people that didn't have Jesus looked at it and said, I don't need that. You see how important this is? I'm telling you, I've seen people that claimed they had been saved for 40 years that came up and said, you know what? I knew the whole time I wasn't. Sunday school teachers, deacons, sat in a pew, been a pillar of the community. Everybody goes, I can't believe that. But they knew it. You need to take care of this right now instead of being that person that stands before Jesus trying to plead their case. Go and plead your case right now and say, Lord, I need to fall down before you because I never truly accepted you and I want to accept you right now. I want my house to be built upon the rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. We see in chapter 16, verse 18, that rock. You see, when he's talking to Peter and he says, upon this rock I'll build my house, it wasn't Peter. He was himself. Because the second 1 Corinthians tells us that. He is the rock. Is your life built upon Jesus Christ this morning? Or is it built upon something else? Because if it's not Jesus Christ, everything is something else. He is the only way. He is the only one. John 14:6, he said this himself. I didn't say this. Nobody made this up. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he told him. I. Only one. Only Jesus Christ. And you say, well, you're down in all the other religions of the world. They're all religions. And folks, some of these denominations are just religions and they're filled with religious people. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about religions. And by the way, they are all false. There is only one. There's only one Jesus. There's only one way to heaven because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. And he said, nobody gets to the Father except by me. That's his words. Very poignant. He put it succinctly right up there up front. He didn't bat an eye. He didn't say, unless you're a good person or if you do some good things, or you know, if you've got a good aura about you. He said, He's the only way. And that's what he's saying here. He said, you want your house to stand on this earth? Folks, this is here. This is how to live. This is how to be here. Folks, we know when we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about it. He built the house. He's got everything prepared. He's the one that does it. Excuse me. He prepared it all. In John 14, he's talking about that. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living here on this earth, right now, in our lives, dealing with all the junk that we got coming our way. And right now, we got a lot of junk. We've had all kinds of things. We had viruses. We got wars. We got all these things coming at us 24/7 on our phones, popping up all the time. And I see so many people that claim to be Christians like, what are we going to do? We're going to believe in Jesus Christ. My house is built upon a rock. I'm going to deal with this, but I'm going to deal with it knowing that Jesus Christ is my foundation. I'm standing on firm ground through Jesus Christ. My knees may buckle a little bit, folks, and they do, but my feet are planted on firm ground. If I go down to my knees, I know I'm not going to sink. I'm not on sand. I know my house is not going to fall. Even when I have my doubts, and this morning I prayed and said, Lord, forgive me of my doubts. Even when I have my doubts, I'm still on firm ground because I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And he's going, that's okay. I'll forgive you. When Peter started to sink there and out in the ocean, Jesus Christ reached down and grabbed him and pulled him up and walked him back to the boat. That's what it's like being on firm ground. When you cry out, you got somebody right there with you. You see, because I don't live by myself in that house. I have Jesus. He lives in my house with me. He lives in my life with me, folks. I told you the house is alive. What's it built upon? Verse 28, I told you I'd tell you the rest of it. As it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So if anybody tells you doctrine is not in the Bible, well, yeah, there it is, right there in black and white. They were astonished at his doctrine, what? His teaching, his belief. His words, they were astonished at it. They were just blown away. This story and what he told right before blew them away. Well, thank God for that. You know, I'm still amazed at Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher one time, I'm not amazed at what Jesus does anymore. And I understood kind of what he said because he'd seen so much that he knew it was going to happen. I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed that Jesus saves souls. I'm still amazed that people are listening to the Word of God and still reacting and still getting Jesus' message and accepting His Word and building their life upon a rock when it was built upon sand. I'm still amazed. And I hope you are too. And they were astonished at it. It's verse 29. For He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. The scribes knew the Word of God per letter. They were the Xerox machines of the day. When they transferred the Word of God and put it on a new document, they did it letter by letter by letter by letter so as to get it exactly right. If they were asked, where is this found in the Word of God? They knew when Herod wanted to know where the new king was going to be born, he asked the scribes and they told him. But they said that Jesus was speaking, not like these guys who knew it word for word, letter for letter, but one that wrote it. The author. Authority. That author is right the root of that word. One that spoke with authority because he wrote the Word of God. He spoke it out. And he still speaks it today. Question. What's your life built upon? Your life is your house. What's it built upon? Is it built upon the rock of Jesus Christ? Or is it built on something else? Sand will shift. If it's built on that, it's built on nothing. You can accept Jesus Christ this morning. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'll confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever believeth on the word of God shall be saved. You can do that today. Now my time's running short and they're probably going to cut me off, but I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He wants your house to be a built upon the rock. He doesn't want you to be one that stands before him and says, didn't we? He wants you to be the one that stands before him and bows down and says, my Lord, my God. I hope that you've accepted that free gift, and I hope that if you have, you're living the life of Christ. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you for supporting us. We love you and pray for us continually. Hope you have a great day.